It has been happening pretty intensely for the past couple of years, and the impacts are starting to show. That is, the Tories' tough-on-crime agenda. And, as predicted, the impacts include hundreds of millions of dollars being spent to build new prisons across the country. The government is being pretty quiet, though, about their plans for prison expansion and all the related costs. But one student is working hard to find out all he can, and he's spreading the word. Justin Pichet is a PhD student who's studying prison expansion in Canada, and he's also spearheading a campaign calling for a halt to punishment legislation in Canada. Justin joins us on the phone from Ottawa. Thanks for joining us, Justin. So how did you get into this research on prison expansion?
Well, basically, in 2007, CSC conducted a so-called independent review panel of their operations, and in there, the chair, Rob Sampson, former Ontario Minister of Corrections, and the rest of his group recommended that CSC replace existing penitentiaries with regional complexes. So I began to think of and try and look at different information related to new prison construction projects, not just at the federal level, but also at the provincial territorial level. So in February 2009, I began the project in earnest, and I started looking at different press releases related to new prison construction. I started phoning all the prison authorities across the country, the feds who are responsible for incarcerating individuals serving sentences of 2 years plus a day, and the provincial territorial prison authorities who are responsible, of course, for remanded prisoners and those serving sentences of 2 years minus a day.
So how are things looking in terms of prison construction across Canada? What's the snapshot that you found?
Well, basically, after having filed access to information and freedom of information requests with all these prison authorities, at the provincial territorial level, there are currently 22 new prisons at various stages of completion, 16 additions to existing provincial territorial facilities. Now, if these facilities all go online from startup to construction, they will add 6,650 beds, an estimated construction cost of $2.83 billion. And in terms of annual operating costs associated with those new beds, it will cost annually $350.4 million, according to numbers I've pulled from the Canadian Centre for Justice statistics, and that's just at the provincial territorial level. In terms of what I've been able to pull from the federal level, not much, because we've been stonewalled on every informal and access to information request that I've done. We do know that Vic Taves recently announced that he has revised his $90 million estimate for implementing the repeal of the two-for-one credit for those for serving time in remand, and basically that will cost $2 billion, he says, in the next few years, although there are figures from the Parliamentary Budget Officer which peg the cost of implementing just that one bill for construction costs between $6 billion and $10 billion dollars.
So this gets a little bit confusing, because you have federal legislation that affects provincial prison construction or provincial prison population, but then the provinces have to deal with that sort of fallout.
Well, I guess what I would say in terms of the provincial territorial data that I have is that there are many factors that have contributed to prison construction at the provincial territorial level. Many of the facilities are aging. The provinces have identified the number of prisoners with mental health and addiction issues as being difficult to accommodate within the existing space that they have. They've also many provinces have recently attempted to conduct entire systemic overhauls of how they do in imprisonment or corrections, as they like to call it. So they've been trying to look for new space to meet their new objectives. And also, of course, they've been putting some emphasis on trying to get new infrastructure to absorb the influx of new prisoners serving longer sentences. But it should be noted, however, that most of these prisons are not even related to trying directly to deal with federal pieces of legislation. They're dealing with problems that existed in prisons before the conservatives began their punishment agenda, which suggests that they will be involved in even more prison building in the years ahead once some of these different pieces of legislation take effect.
Just focusing provincially right now, because that's what you were saying, there's 22 new prisons either being built or underway or planned, and 16 additions. It's going to cost $2.8 billion to build these prisons and then about $350 million to operate them, right?
Yes.
How does that relate to maybe a trend? Like, is this a lot? So if you took a snapshot 10 years ago, would the picture look the same in terms of provincial? And this is just because nobody's kind of looked that closely before? Or is the trend increasing already? And then, as you say, once sort of more of the trickle down of those tough on crime bills from the federal government come down into the provincial system, then the expansion will be even greater? Is that your assessment of the situation?
Well, I'd say this much, that in the 1990s, many governments were looking to cut expenditure to balance the books. So there was a lot of money that went away from prisons and prison construction. So I think in terms of what's going on now, it is what I would call a prison boom. At the same time, I don't think anyone's actually anticipated of, like, all these major policy documents that I've read, no one's actually, as far as I could tell, been building these things to fully deal with the pieces of legislation that are coming forward. For instance, ending the time for credit served in remand, ending conditional sentencing for many sentences. I don't think if you read some of these so-called reform documents, that you will find any mention of the scope of federal legislation that is ongoing. The provinces are already trying to play catch up, if you will, and by increasing sentences, increasing the number of people who are actually eligible for sentences, who will be serving longer sentences, it will place that much more pressure on the provincial territorial prisons. And I think if we don't put a lid on this, we're either going to have even further overcrowding problems, or we're going to, well, some are going to argue that we're going to need to build new prisons, which, you know, is not necessarily, from what we know from the mass incarceration project south of the border, where many states are turning back on it. It's not the best idea if we're actually concerned about enhancing safety in our communities.
I guess I'm sort of fascinated by this fact that you're saying, okay, so the federal government, we'll talk about that in a second in terms of trying to get information out of the federal government. We're not even clear how much they're planning on spending on new prisons, but provincially only, before maybe even some of these impacts come down from the tough on crime agenda, they're spending almost $3 billion constructing new prisons. Now, that is a lot of money. And I would say a lot of the provincial prisons, a lot of people there are on remand. That percentage is increasing, right? And then also
That's right. Of
people in those prisons are there for minor crimes. So we can find $3 billion to build these prisons, but we can't put that kind of money into other kinds of social infrastructure. It seems very telling to me where the priorities are.
Well, I mean, it's a shift. It's a definite policy shift from divestment from welfare and social programs into, you know, the back end, if you will, using the prison as a panacea to resolve a variety of social issues we have in our communities: mental health, drug addiction, poverty. So instead of investing, you know, when you're building a prison, you're basically committing. It's like a mortgage. You're signed up. You're committed to it. It's really hard to get out of it once you do, you know, sign the contracts with the prison builders and so on. And once money's spent there, it cannot be spent anywhere else. It's gone.
And so what are they building? I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, modern jails or mega jails, and they did that in Ontario a number of years ago. I know. What kind of actual types of prisons are they building in this provincial building boom?
Well, for the majority, because a lot of the provinces are smaller in population, like, for instance, out east in Newfoundland, PEI, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, you'll find, you know, the smaller multi-level facilities. So you'll have sections that will be devoted for maximum, medium, where most people are held, minimum, and then, you know, small units and these type of things. Now, in provinces that have more population, like, let's say, Ontario, which is building a 1,650-person facility in Toronto called the Toronto South Detention Center, multi-level facilities, but very, very huge. Like, they're operating in economies of scale, trying to, centralize prisons in these extremely large institutions. In Edmonton, they're building a new remand center there, 1,944 prisoners. These are extremely, extremely large facilities. So it kind of runs the map. It really depends on what the provinces and territories perceive their needs to be, right? So there's not a cookie cutter thing that's going on across the country at that level.
So going back to the federal government, you mentioned you basically are having a lot of trouble getting information out of them. Tell us about what you've been trying to get and what you have been able to find out in terms of the federal government's plans for prison construction and expansion.
Well, at the Correctional Services of Canada, I've initially doing my rounds of phone calls, I'd phone and I'd ask about, you know, what are you guys planning to do? And they basically would say to me, you know, we'll answer other questions that you might have, but because if we are building prisons, that would be an issue of cabinet confidence. It would be something that would be discussed there. We can't tell you. So then, you know, I'd file my access to information request with the Correctional Service of Canada, and there's been I've filed seven that have been fully processed. So far, and each time, it's either come back with a response saying either no records exist, even though there's evidence to the contrary. There's a few CSC publications that say they're looking to plan regional complexes. One was written by the now Commissioner Don Head, but I still get back, you know, no records exist on this. And then the last few requests that I've done, they've actually come back and said, no, you can't have this cabinet confidence. So Canadians at this point, and, you know, I'm just one Canadian asking for information that should be public domain in the first place that will allow us to have a penal policy debate. They're saying right now, you know, Canadians don't actually have a right to know. We don't. Those are what those decisions reflect. So I have had pretty much no luck, and I think the only thing that we can go on right now is the one thing that Vic Caves, public safety minister, has recently said, that to implement this one bill, Bill C-25, that's now received royal assent, cost $2 billion to build additional capacity in the Correctional Service of Canada. And he said so far that no new prisons are planned, that they're actually just going to be retrofitting existing prisons for double bunking, which is actually against the CSC Commissioner's Directive 550, which states that single bunking is the most correctionally, in quotation marks, appropriate method of incarcerating prisoners for the purposes of rehabilitation. So we don't know much. We do know, however, that the budget for capital expenditures has gone up in recent years. I believe 138% since the Conservatives have taken office. And
the
so
prison,
right now
the prison-based capital budget.
It's Correctional Services of Canada
capital budget
expenditures, which includes prison construction costs, you know, retrofits and adding existing or sorry, adding wigs to existing. And then in next year, that budget's supposed to be over $500 million, and the year after, $466 million, I think, is the figure, somewhere around there.
So that capital budget is on the rise. There's some debate going on with the Parliamentary Budget Officer and the Cabinet. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the Budget Officer is saying in terms of this spending of money on prisons or trying to figure out what's going on with that?
Well, originally, the first week of May, the Parliamentary Budget Officer was supposed to publish his report on the impacts of Bill C-25, the two-for-one credit repeal. And basically, that report's still not out. Apparently, there's still some work being done on it, but there's been a few inklings of information in the media. Some have said that to implement this bill, if everyone got, let's say all the new prisoners get 1.5 days credit for every day served in remand, that it would cost approximately, let's say, somewhere around $6 billion to build new prisons to absorb those new prisoners who come through. And then some have said that it could be as high as $10 billion to build new facilities if, for instance, let's say everyone got one for one. So you just get, for every day you serve, you'd get one day's credit. So you wouldn't really be getting any extra credits at all. And that's just for one bill, right? Unfortunately, the Parliamentary Budget Officer, there's been reports that he hasn't had any assistance or very little assistance from the Correctional Services of Canada. So he had to really limit his study on just this one bill rather than all of them. And reports are right now that most of these costs will be absorbed again by the provinces and the territories.
So there's a lot that we don't know, but we do know that they're passing these bills, which is going to increase the prison population. Some of it, obviously, they're going to force double bunking onto people, and they must be planning to build new prisons. Why do you think they're not telling us what their plans are? Do they have no plans, or they think it's going to be politically unpopular to say, oh yeah, we're spending $2 billion on prisons while everything else is being cut back?
Well, I mean, because they're not releasing any information, whether it's related to additions to existing facilities or new prisons, or, you know, what are they doing with this regional complex plan that they were supposed to do in response to the CSC review panel that was published in 2007. So we're really in a terrible position to know anything. So I can't really speculate other than to say that something is going on within the walls of the Correctional Service of Canada. And, you know, it's up to Canadians to try and pressure their members of Parliament to try and get them to pressure CSC to release those plans. So we actually have a discussion on whether or not this is the proper direction we want to take. And I think, I mean, when it gets down to it, every time the Conservatives have a punishment legislation press release, they get a lot of attention. They get to go on all the radio stations and all the television stations and say, and thump their chest, say, hey, look at us, we're getting tough on crime and this and that. And we actually don't know what the economic and human costs are associated to those bills. How many new prisoners will be put into prison for longer periods of time? They can't tell us. How much will it cost to build new prisons to absorb the influx of new prisoners? They can't tell us. This kind of information we absolutely need to have. It's not good enough to thump your chest and say, hey, we're getting tough on crime. You know, that just shouldn't fly. And unfortunately, there seems to be a climate where our opposition members of Parliament and many others are you know, opponents in the public domain are afraid to actually say something because, God forbid, they get labeled soft on crime, whatever that means. In my mind, none of this legislation, if you actually read some of these things, have to actually do with reducing crime or what we call crime in our neighborhoods. It's basically, you know, we're in the midst of an economic crisis. I think it's just a politics of distraction. And unfortunately, it has tremendous impacts on certain populations.
And so out of that sort of your belief and approach of that, you've started up a campaign calling for a Canadian punishment legislation moratorium. Can you tell us about that and what you're asking for people in terms of supporting that campaign?
Well, basically, you know, we already have, especially at the provincial territorial level, three individuals or four individuals sharing a cell. And we keep passing or putting forward legislation and passing legislation that will only place additional pressure on the provinces and territories, as well as the federal system, where almost 10% of prisoners were double bunked as of April 2009, I think was the last statistics I was able to obtain. So basically, if we're doing the dishes in our kitchen sink, you know, and we have the tap running nonstop, that's the legislation, and our sink is starting to overflow with water, we don't run to our local hardware stores to buy bigger sinks. You know, we shut the tap off and pull the drain so that, you know, the water doesn't spill all over our kitchen floor and causes a bigger mess. So what I'm arguing is that the starting point for any, you know, any penal policy or practice that we put into place in the next few years, given the capacity issues we already have, is that we need a moratorium on federal punishment legislation that will only exacerbate capacity issues in our penal institutions, you know, by creating additional demands for prisons that will have little effect on the rates of crime or safety in our communities at a high fiscal cost. You know, we're in the midst of an economic crisis, and we have a government, one of their major priorities is to find more ways to spend money and incarcerate additional individuals. And to me, it doesn't make sense. So I've put up an information letter that has, you know, different arguments about why we should actually not consider incarceration as an approach to solving social issues in our communities, and also a link to, you know, a form where basically people can decide whether or not they want to have their names published or, you know, keep their names private, and they can join in the Canadian punishment legislation moratorium campaign. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that many people will sign up, and it will force our elected and non-elected representatives in the Senate, most of which are now conservatives, to actually, you know, back off this agenda, to think a little more clearly about what additional punishment can actually accomplish, if anything.
Well, there is a lot to talk about with this, and here on Stark Raven, we keep on talking about these issues. They've been going on for years and will be going on in the future. But I want to thank you so much for shedding a little bit of light on some of your research, and hopefully we can have you on again in the coming months as you hopefully uncover some more information about what our governments are up to in terms of prison expansion. So thanks so much,
sure,
Justin. We've been speaking with Justin Pichet. He is a PhD candidate at the University of Carleton, and he's studying prison expansion in Canada. And he's working on starting a campaign calling for a moratorium on Canadian punishment legislation. So for more information on his research, he's got a very detailed blog with lots of information on it. I'd definitely check it out if you haven't already. And you can also go there to sign up for the moratorium campaign. The site is tpcp-canada.blogspot.com. That's tpcp-canada.blogspot.com.